But a few months ago, I shared, I think it was back in March, attitudes of the Christian lifestyle. And I gave six different scriptural points of attitudes of the Christian lifestyle, or attitudes that are not a part-time attitude, but it's something that is a part of the Christian lifestyle. It's just integrated in. 24/7. It's a part of life as a new Christian, as a person that is in Christ. We must love God totally. We must love our fellow man. We must live by faith, even if we don't feel spiritual. We need to possess traits of mercy and kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forgiveness. We need to have wisdom from God that is pure, peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated. We should not have traits of carnal anger, wrath, or malice. Those are the things, the six different points, scripture references that I gave back at that time. But there are some more that I didn't get to. And so I'm going to get to them tonight. Okay? I'm going to get to them. I believe I'll get through them all this evening. There's five more. So you don't have to think that it's going to be terribly, terribly long. Just five simple points that I want us to look at. Attitudes of the Christian lifestyle. Not a part-time situation, but it's an actual part integrated into the living of a Christian. The first one that I want to notice this evening comes out of the book of James chapter 3, verse number 14. And we could really spend a lot of time here on this one, although I'm going to try not to. The reason why I could spend a lot of time on this one is because this one is referenced over and over and over in the New Testament. Now, I know that we don't always think of it that the more times something is mentioned, the more important it is, because that's not really always the case. If it's mentioned in the Bible, it's important. But in this case, if it's mentioned this many times, then I have to begin to think that perhaps not so much that it's overly important, but that it's overly active. It's an issue that God is wanting to deal with among people. So if you turn with me there, if you turned in your Bible to that passage, let me read it to you. But if ye have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. Envy and strife. Those two words, envy and strife, seem to go hand in hand. Paul talks about it in Philippians. He talks about it there of envy and strife, right hand in hand. He talks in Philippians again in another chapter through strife or vainglory, which would somewhat be the same thing. Vainglory and envy would have some similarities. You find it in 1 Timothy chapter 6, envy and strife side by side. Strife is in Galatians. Envy and strife is also in Corinthians. We find all of these verses that he's speaking about here of envy and strife being together. Hebrews says that there should be an end, or to them is an end of all strife. We come to James chapter 3 and verse 14 that envying and strife, bitter envying and strife is a part of it here. So as we look at this as an attitude of the Christian lifestyle, what would we have to say? What would we have to boil that down to mean as we think about it, as we talk about it, that we should not have traits, that as an attitude of the Christian lifestyle, we're at the opposite side of those things? don't know what word you want to put in there as the opposite. But it would appear that envy and strife is something that God does not want involved in the Christian lifestyle. Now, I have to say, you may not want me to say it, but I have to say it, that envy and strife is one of those things, or two of those things, that it's the other person's problem. And what I'm doing, or what I'm saying, or how I'm acting, that's not it. Are you understanding that? That's what somebody else does. What I'm doing, and I have another name for it. I have another justification for it. I water it down somehow for myself. But envy and strife is somebody else's condition. But if we're causing strife, if we're causing turmoil, if we're causing an upheaval, then we probably ought to stop, sit back a little bit, and look at it from the eyes of somebody else rather than from our eyes and say, am I really doing what I should be doing? There's a lot of ways to stir up strife. A lot of ways. I'm not going to narrow it down to one specific thing that you may be thinking about that somebody else did, of course. But there's a lot of things that can be taking place in and among us that cause strife. We should not have traits of envy or strife. Let's move on. I know that let's just move on. The next one is 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. This is an attitude of the Christian lifestyle that is a must. This is something that Jesus portrayed. This is something that is characteristic of Christ. Over and over again, it's his character. It shows in his character. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one for another. Love his brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. You see what word that I'm going to be looking at there? There's a number of different things that we could look at, but the one that I'm specifically looking at this evening is the word compassion. Having compassion one for another. Another translation said sympathizing with one another. Loving each other as brethren of one household. Compassionate and courteous, tender-hearted and humble. Compassionate. Jesus had compassion on the multitudes. They weren't even Christians. How many times do you read that in the Gospels where Jesus looked upon the multitudes and he had compassion? Or he looked upon somebody and he had compassion? He looked upon their need and he had compassion. Over and over again it tells us that Jesus had compassion. We as a Christian, as a follower of Christ, as a new creature in Christ Jesus, we should be compassionate to those around us. Now, the next step would be very simple, though it's simple, it may be the most difficult in this thing of compassionate. The next step in being compassionate, or talking about being compassionate, is to know their needs, to be compassionate towards them. Because if we just go through our daily lives wrapped up in ourselves, wrapped up in our own world, wrapped up in our own little cocoon, as it were, and we don't see anybody else's needs, we can't feel anybody else's pain, we don't understand what anybody else is going through, we can't even try, we can't even empathize with them because we don't even know, because we're wrapped up in ourselves. Be compassionate. Having compassion one for another. Let's move on to the third one. This is twofold. Romans chapter 12 is where we want to look at for this particular one. I hesitate on this one, though. I hesitate on this one. All, the first part of it is good, because the first part of it is rejoicing in hope. Verse 12 of chapter 12. Rejoicing in hope. Oh, we like that one. But I hesitate on it because he doesn't stop with rejoicing in hope. And we should have hope as an attitude in our lives. A Christian lifestyle, we should express hope. We should live in hope. We should be able to talk about hope. And not just a hope out there of some wild thing, but something that's a solid, almost tangible evidence coming out of God's Word. Faith in what Jesus has told us, God's Word has promised us. Hope in that. Faith and confidence in that. There is a rejoicing in hope. But then he said, patient in tribulation. Continuing instant in prayer. So what are the characteristics of a Christian lifestyle? It's one of hope and patience. Hope and patience. You know, some of us don't have any problem with patience. But then there's some of us that don't have any patience. Where do you fall? Don't judge me where I fall. I know somebody that is. Why in the world did he write those two things? Hope is wonderful. Hope is great. Patient in tribulation. Now, wait a minute. Hope. He's talking about rejoicing in hope, and then suddenly he slams this thing right into us, patient in tribulation. People say that you have to have a lot of patience to sit in a deer stand all day and hunt deer. People say that, well, since you, preacher, are able to sit in a tree stand and hunt deer for hours on end, you must be a patient person. Well, the reality of it is that I can't just sit there and hunt. I have to be doing something else. That's why I've prepared sermons in the tree stand, and I've read the New Testament through a number of times in the tree stand. I've done things other than hunt because I can't. I'm not patient enough just to sit there and wait, twiddle my thumbs. Now they have those fidget spinners. I don't know if they're quiet enough for me in the tree stand. So I'm not setting myself up as an example of patience because I am not exactly what somebody would call a patient person. But Jesus, God is calling us to be patient in tribulation, patient in our lives. Make sure that patience is a part of our lifestyle as a Christian. It's easier said than done. And I will admit to you that if you pray for patience, you say, God, help me with my patience. He will send something along to help you with patience. And what does he say is the best way to work on patience? Tribulation. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or tribulation. Testing. The fourth one. Let's look at the fourth one quickly. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. John here writes, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So looking at that verse, what would we say would be an attribute or a characteristic or an attitude of a Christian in his lifestyle? What would be the focus of your lifestyle according to that verse? It's pretty simple. It's pretty straightforward. If we just simply look at that verse right there and think about an attitude of the Christian lifestyle, what is it that we come up with? What is it that we come to the end with and say what it would be? An attitude. Love not the world. Now, you could take that and say, well, that's worldly lifestyle, that's worldly standards, that's worldly definition of modesty, that's worldly definition of entertainment, that's a worldly... We can pinpoint all of those little sidelines. But when it comes down to what he is trying, what I believe Jesus is trying to say that John is writing here in this passage is that what we should not do is have such a grip on the things of this world, whether they are good or what we would call worldly or liberal or sinful. Nothing, that we should have nothing gripped so tight in of this world that it becomes the God of our lives. Love not the world. I don't see anything wrong. I personally don't see anything wrong with somebody that washes their car. Now, some of you obviously don't. Sometimes you would look at my cars and say, obviously I don't. I went to a funeral the other day and I was mortified. Did not have time to stop and get it washed. And I felt horrid. Something about it in my mind, I'm thinking that you got to have a clean car to go to a funeral. It's just, I think you got to have a clean car to travel on the highway. Once you get off the dirt roads, get your car washed. Does that mean if you wash your car every week, or every other day, or every day, whatever the case may be, does that mean that that car is an idol to you? Depends on how firm you're gripping that car. It doesn't say that because you wash your car that it's an idol. It might be saying that you want to look nice, that you want to be presentable, that you want to maintain that vehicle the best you can in cleanliness. There's a number of things that can be said about that. It's not so much something that we have in our life. I still, every single time I go by, even after 10 years of living here, every single time I go by Robert and Ruth's house, in the summertime especially, I admire their well-kept yard. I do. It's meticulous. It's well taken care of. And I like that kind of thing. I've never seen them out there crying when a tree falls or when they have to dig out another stump, and they do. I've never seen them getting all upset when the water rushes over and brings in other debris. Maybe I'm missing it, but I just don't think that's the case. I don't think that that's the issue. They love to make it look as nice as possible. They enjoy taking care of it, but they are not gripping it to the point that this mounts up to where they are loving the things of this world. I just don't think that's a... But John is saying that we should not love this world. And I have to believe, looking at that, that what he's saying is that we grip things so tight that we cannot let go. And when it does happen that we have to let go, we go into panic mode or desperation mode. Hold them, but not grip them tightly. Love not the world. An attitude of the Christian lifestyle is that we are not a servant of this world. We are not a citizen of this world, but we are a servant of the King of Kings, and we are a citizen of another country. And we have hope, going back to that one, we have hope of seeing him and dwelling with him someday, not living forever here. Love not the world. The final thing this evening, I'd like to have your feedback here. It's quiet. Suddenly hearts begin to thump extra loud. We're not going to go around the room and have everybody participate in that sense. No, don't be fearful. But Galatians chapter, well, I wanted to ask you this first. Can somebody tell me, I already told you the book, can somebody tell me where the fruit of the Spirit is located in the Scriptures? Did I help you by giving the book? You already knew it. Galatians 5. Now I want your participation to tell me what they are. Because as an attitude of the Christian lifestyle, as somebody that is a born-again Christian, they should possess the fruit of the Spirit. And if we're going to possess the fruit of the Spirit, I think we probably ought to be reminded of it from time to time. And see if we know it. Some of you already looked it up. What's the fruit of the Spirit? Somebody start calling them off here. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. Did I hear somebody say goodness? Faith, meekness, temperance. What's the final phrase of that verse? Verse 23. Against such there is no law. Is that talking about temperance or is that talking about the fruit of the Spirit? Now, I've heard people say that it's in reference to temperance, but I don't believe that. I believe that it's in reference to the fruit of the Spirit as a whole. Against such there is no law. Or maybe it was just something that was stuck in my mind from a misunderstanding as a child. But I always thought that against such there is no law was strictly referencing temperance. And that's not the case. Against such there is no law. It's referencing all of those conditions or all of those fruit of the Spirit. And as a Christian, in a Christian lifestyle, we should have or possess the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. Do you possess the fruit of the Spirit? Simply put, is there love growing? Is there joy growing? Is there peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance? Are these things growing in your life? Are they there and growing? I didn't ask you, is it to full fruition, that it's a fully perfect, mature fruit? I didn't ask if it was a mature fruit. I asked if it's there and growing. Possession. We should possess the fruit of the Spirit. Peter tells us to grow in grace. As we grow in grace, then it would be natural for the fruit of the Spirit to grow within us too. But it first must be there. Growing. Attitudes of the Christian lifestyle. Love God totally. Love our fellow man. Live by faith. Possess the traits of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forgiveness. We need to have the wisdom from God that is pure, peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated. We should not have carnal anger, wrath, or malice. We should not have the traits of envy or strife. We should be compassionate. We should have hope and patience. We should not love the world nor the things of this world. And we should possess the fruit of the Spirit. Attitudes of the Christian lifestyle. Not a part-time thing. Just on Sundays when we go to church and we worship together and we testify and we raise our hand and we sing songs and say, yeah, that's what I want in my life. But then the rest of the week, it's no longer a pursuit. It's really no longer a thought, but it's a full-time position. The attitudes of the Christian lifestyle. Walking as He would have us to walk. Let's stand together this evening. Trust you have a good week this week. Once again, I ask for your prayers for VBS. And I guess there's a, usually on Friday evening, it's a little bit different of a program type thing and the fellowship afterwards. So keep that in mind also. Didn't necessarily make that clear earlier. But you're welcome to come and participate and help out. Trusting God to help us in this VBS. Amen. Praise God. Terry, would you dismiss us again tonight?